to the newest edition of the Just In Time Sports Podcast. I am your host, Justin Jackson. And in this week's episode, I'll be discussing the NBA offseason preview, along with touching on the draft. And of course, we'll have our Jack's hot take. Now, as always, don't forget to like, rate, and subscribe to the Just In Time Sports Podcast on iTunes, Spotify, Pandora, wherever you get your podcasts, we're there. And of course, follow the social media handle at JTime Sports. I repeat, at JTime Sports, for all of your breaking news, coverage, updates, and etc. Now, as always, don't forget to share this with somebody. Like, rate, and subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Don't forget to follow social media handle, like I said. And as always, don't forget to sit back and get ready to learn something.
JTS. Yeah. Just In Time Sports.
Life is good. Life is good.
Look. This is Just In Time Sports. Come and get your weekly takes. His opinion from the heart. He can never show you fake. If you winning or you losing, he gon' tell it to you straight. How we talking basketball without a Jordan Brown debate? If you got the hottest takes, you better come and make your case. If you win a couple games, he might even show you grace. JTS on every platform. We growing adaptation. Numbers going off the charts. We create the separation. Louisiana till I die is where I'm from. I can't replace it. So people minds are obtuse, but I like to be adjacent. Giving my opinion like I'm Nick Ryder, I'm Jason. ESPN, better watch out, cause I'm coming for the spaceship. We even tweeting on Twitter, you can meet us in the spaces. Highlight clips of sports news, yeah, you gotta embrace it. We never had it easy, we just came from the pavement. I might be controversial, but I like to make my statements. This is Just In Time Sports, come and get your weekly takes. His opinion from the heart, he can never show you fake.
He can never show you fake.
Look, if you winning or you losing, he gon' tell it to you straight.
He gon' tell it to you, he gon' tell it to you, he gon' tell it to you.
This is Just In Time Sports, come and get your weekly takes.
Come and get it,
he gon' tell it to you straight, to you straight.
Welcome into the show. Welcome in to the Just In Time Sports Podcast, Season 5, Episode 15. It is our NBA offseason preview show, as you saw in the episode description. It is an offseason preview show. We'll talk about the draft, which happened the last couple of days, the NBA's first ever two-time draft. We'll discuss the NBA offseason, what has happened, what I think could happen, some stuff I'm looking forward to happen, some stuff I want to happen. And we'll have our Jack's hot take, which, spoiler alert, is going to be about the WNBA. Which they had an amazing, they had a moment yesterday, and I don't want that moment to be lost, and we'll discuss that moment. But they had a moment yesterday in a series, in a season of bigs, a season of big moments, a season of huge opportunity for the W. They had a moment yesterday, and I want to discuss that moment with you guys, and that's going to be what I talk about in Jack's hot take. But we are starting with the NBA. We're starting with the NBA draft. This draft has been described as the most boring draft in the history of basketball. This was actually the worst draft, worst and best draft for the NBA to do 2 days. Because it would have just got all the BS out of last night. Like, if it was a one-night draft like it used to be, it would have just been one, three, three-and-a-half-hour situation. The ratings would have started off kind of dipped through the middle, and then spiked at the end. But it was also the best day, the best year for a two-day draft, because you had your usual drop-off, and then it was a break, and then it started off high, and I'm sure it dipped, and then it ended really, really, really high. I haven't seen the ratings numbers. I'm not privy to those just yet, but they will. I can assure you they're going to spike right around pick 50 to 57, 58. We all know why, right? But we're not going to start off with the end. We're going to start off with the beginning. I'm going to start off with this. I don't want anybody coming at me. I'm going to mispronounce some of these guys' names. I just am. I've heard them pronounced. It's not going to come out of my mouth correctly. Admittedly, I didn't deep dive into this draft like I know I'm doing an NBA draft. Like, I'm like in class 25 with Cooper Flagg and his crew. I'm going to deep dive. the class 26, aka the NBA Suns draft, which is our current U17 team. That's the picture that went around where it's like every NBA Sun on one team. It's the Boozer Boys, or the Boozer Twins, Gilbert Arenas' son Elijah, Trevor Ariza's son Bryce James, the youngest son of LeBron. And it's another one. I cannot think of the sixth one. Ariza, Arenas, both Boozers, Bryce. Oh, it's a sixth son, and I apologize ahead. Oh, Kai and Anthony, son of Carmelo Anthony. They're all like on the U17 team. It's basically the NBA Suns draft. That'll be hyped through the roof because you get to see all these parents in different roles. All these players, like I remember Trevor Ariza. Of course, I remember Agent Zero Gilbert Arenas, and he doesn't go away with his podcast. Of course, LeBron James, he might still be playing. Carlos Boozer was a hell of a player. And of course, Carmelo Anthony was a hell of a player as well. One of the greatest players of all time. Our greatest Olympic player of all time. The most decorated. He has the record for the most points. Although I think LeBron has a chance of taking it back because he played one more Olympics than LeBron. But Carmelo Anthony, I believe, has our most points in Olympic history. He has our most medals for basketball. He has our most golds for basketball. He's our greatest Olympic basketball player ever. So his son, Kyan, is also on the U17 team. Also, they'll all be draft eligible in 2 years. So that'll be like the NBA Suns draft. But back to the draft that happened last night. I went 2 years ahead, and I'm coming to you to two nights ago. Zachariah Reshaker. I'm so sorry. I really am. The guy, he's actually Spanish, but they label him as French. He's born in Spain. He went number one to the Atlanta Hawks. And again, I am so sorry for the mispronunciation of the name. I truly, really am. And actually, I won't do that. I took the time and I reheard it. It's Zachary Reshaker. So, and it was funny, as I was typing it in just now to kind of relearn it real quick, I looked at it, I was like, oh, it's Zachary. Reshaker. Zachary Reshaker. It was the number one overall pick to the Atlanta Hawks. Like I say, it's French. He was born in Spain, but he is French. And then number two, the Frenchman I knew going into this draft, the one I knew a lot more of, was Alexander or Alex Sarr, also out of France. A little bit bigger than Zachary. Zachary's a guard, wing kind of player. Alex Sarr is a forward, center. Think game comparison, some Sarr. Think 75% of Wimby in a lot of ways. Wimby's generational. Alexander Sarr, I think, could be an all-star. He's going to the Washington Wizards, so good pick for them. The Houston Rockets get Reed Shepard out of Kentucky, knockdown scorer. He's going to do a lot of good things for Ime Udoka. Feels like a very Ime Udoka-like player, I'm not going to lie to you. Stephon Castle goes to the San Antonio Spurs. What did you guys hear me complain about all the time last year when it came to the Spurs? It was they didn't have a gosh darn point guard, and it just made their life really, really hard. And so Castle goes to the Spurs. He's a point guard. He ran UConn's system. He ran Dan Hurley's system to perfection, to the tune of back-to-back national champions. So Castle should be huge for Wimby. Just as a guy, if he does nothing else but runs pop system effectively. I speak a lot about Trey Jones. And I think Trey Jones may end up being his mentor there. I'm not sure where Trey Jones is currently as far as contractually. He's on the Spurs for sure. You know, and his brother Tyus as well. Looking up Trey Jones's contract right now, see if he's entering free agency. No, he has another year. So he has another year there. I assume he'll be on the team. Spurs have a lot of money. So I assume he will be around to try and help Castle help in his development and work with Wimby and gain that situation, gain a better understanding of the Spurs offense and just running that team. Like I said, making life easier on Wimby. Like, it just looked hard a lot last year for the Spurs offensively. Yes, they weren't that talented of a team. I'm with you. But, like, it can't be that hard all the time. It looked difficult all the time. for the San Antonio Spurs whenever they didn't have Trey Jones in the game, really. They had a weird thing with Jeremy Sochan at the point. That's how you should have known something was going wrong. Popovich trying that. But it looked hard a lot. And so hopefully Cavs can go in there and steady the ship for the Spurs. Because it just looked difficult. Like, there's one thing about basketball that's a little different than football or even baseball. Talent in basketball, to me, is less physical in terms of strength and speed. Like, some guys are exceptions, of course. LeBron's an exception in his prime. Kevin Durant, 7 feet tall, is an exception in his prime. Giannis. But, like, take that top 5% or 10% of the echelon out in basketball, like, ultimate genetic freaks, because they're all genetic freaks in basketball. But the ultimate genetic freaks and, like, make them regular genetic freaks, like, the difference athletically between Chris Paul and Jose Alvarado isn't that far. Now, the basketball ability is, but I'm saying in terms of just raw athleticism between Chris Paul and Jose Alvarado, ain't that far apart. They're about the same size, they're about the same height, same vertical leap, same quickness. Like, they're what. So a lot of times it's basketball IQ and basketball just at work ethic that separates a Chris Paul and a Jose Alvarado. You can always tell when it's not run well on the court, and not enough guys who know basketball, when basketball looks hard all the time. Like, unless Wimby had the ball and Wimby was doing something amazing, the Spurs just looked like it hurt. Like, it looked like it wasn't fun. Like, nobody enjoyed themselves on the basketball court. It looked hard all the time. And so I hope Cavs can go in there and stay to the ship. I spoke a lot about the Spurs there unintentionally. My bad. But I had it off my chest. That they hurt to watch Wimby play because the rest of the Spurs looked so hard. And then the Pistons got Ron Holland II off the G League Ignite, which is probably the last lottery pick from the Ignite because they're shutting the Ignite program down. I think that was the last year of it. And now if anybody wants to go in the G League fresh out of high school, they do what they should have always been, which is just funnel them on to different teams. They enter the draft, enter the G League draft, basically. And they get funneled on different teams, which means how it always should have been. There should have been some sort of, when I spoke about this when they said the G League was shutting down originally. So please go back to previous podcasts, but I'll touch on it when they said the Ignite program was shutting down. But I'll touch on it here. It should have never been all the one team. It should have never been that. Like, at any point, they should have never decided every Ignite player is going to all be on one team. Because if you did have a big class of 12, they're going to be 12 rookies on one team. They're going to get killed. Like, that's just dumb. It should have always been, to me, if there's you know, 20-some-odd GDs. It might be 30 now. But I think every team has a G League affiliate now. But I know for the most part, it's at least 20-some-odd G League teams. Okay, well, if there's 20 of the guys coming in, spread them out. Maybe put a couple together so they can share an experience with each other. But, like, spread them out. Put them on these teams full of veterans. Put them on these teams full of guys. Like, have these G League teams draft them. Whatever, because you're putting unrealistic, they're not learning. Like, it's different to learn from a guy who play in the league. And they would have guys like Jared Jack, you know, on G League Ignite. They try and put veterans, smart veterans on G League Ignite. But at the same time, wouldn't it be smarter to go with the guy who's been in the G League for 5-6 years, who's had to manage his money, who's used to playing in Maine, like, who's used to being, you know, in Rochester, who's used to being in Santa Cruz, South Bay, whatever, like, these guys, or like a Lance Stevenson, who was at the top at one point, came all the way down to the G League. Like, to me, it'd be better to, instead of these guys popping in for a talk, that these guys actually went to guys who experienced the highs and the lows, experienced the ups and the downs. And you would be with the team that at that point, now that team has great information on you. So, like, if you're a Ron Holland and you went and played for Atlanta's G League team and you killed it for them, you understood the system, whatever, they may draft you above Zachary Richard, whatever, you get it, Zachary from France, over Richard Kerr from France because I know you. You played for me. Like, you played in our system. You played with our guys. You've been in my facility. Like, I know you very well. I may pick you because I know you. I've seen what you can do. Your learning curve is automatically shorter because you were in our weight program. You were a child in our facility. You learned our system. Like, you know a lot of stuff. So you can just show up and play because you know everything. You go from the G League practice facility to ours, but you know everything. So I think that's how it always should have been instead of putting them all on one team. And they did it that way, I believe, to keep a competitive advantage away. Because let's say I know, like, Ron Holland in a second, and the Hawks are number one, and I really want a wing guard player, and Holland's a wing guard player, and I know information about him from being in my building every day that nobody else would know. So I think that's why he did it, put them all on one team, so that way, you know, every team had access to all of their stuff. But I think it, to me, it shortchanged the program and shortchanged what it could have been. Even if it was no more of those guys left their teams for 2 weeks and went to a symposium, you know what I'm saying? And they did their money management and they did their PR training and all that stuff for 2 weeks at the facility. And they got put up in a hotel and they came to stuff for 2 weeks and then went back to their teams. Even if it was that, to me, that would have been better than just, oh, they're all going to play together. Like, and they're all going to work together. Like, some of those guys would have been eighth men on their teams and would have had to learn how to play in 15 minutes and get your work in and really work hard in practice. And you're not the star of this team. And I don't give a crap what you're making from the G League. Like, I don't care. You still got to get the seventh man kind of thing. That would have been very valuable to me for those guys to learn. But whatever. But anyway, back to the draft. Sorry, again, another tangent. But that really bothered me when they did it the first time. A couple of big names that went. Rob, a couple of names that I knew coming out of college ball. A couple of interesting picks. Rob Dillingham was a Spurs draftee at 8. He was immediately traded to the Minnesota Timberwolves. That's a good spot for him. He gets to learn under Mike Conley for a year. Learn how to run a team. Learn how to be a leader on the floor. He's with Anthony Edwards. He's with Carl Anthony Towns. He's with Rudy Gobert. So that's a good spot for him. Kyle Anderson. That's a good spot for him. Zach Edey goes to Memphis. They didn't really – they need big. They need big bodies. He can play a Steven Adams-type role. I would say he still has Steven Adams to be his vet, but he can play a Steven Adams-type role for Memphis. Dalton Knecht goes to the Los Angeles Lakers. He was a three-level scorer, SEC Player of the Year, absolute bucket. The Lakers finally drafted correctly. And according to Rob Pelinka, J.J. Redick was already drawing up plays for Dalton Knecht. Right after they picked them. He was already figuring out different sets to get Dalton Knecht open. So, big pick for them. But, of course, the draft pick, maybe everybody knew, but it was the most anticipated pick of the entire draft. And, to me, it's been this way for weeks, if not months, when the draft order was settled. LeBron James Jr., more commonly known as Bronny James, out of USC, the guard himself, was drafted 55th pick, fifth to last in the second round by the Los Angeles Lakers. This draft pick, so many ways to attack this. This draft pick was known, like I said, it was known for weeks. When the draft order was settled, everybody went, he's not a first round pick. Oh, there it is. There's the number. 55th pick. I'm sure that was probably very low odds on a betting website. It almost probably was guaranteed money, which is why probably many websites had it low. If I was, you know what I'm saying, had I placed a bet, I don't know what the odds even were. I won't even say it. But even if it was, you know what I'm saying, it was worth when you put $40 on the bet and then you'd be like, I'm gonna hit it. Like, pick 55 was the number it circled. And even knowing that was the case, and LeBron has spoke about it for years, that his goal was to play with his son. It was first, I'm playing on the same team with my son. Then it was, I played in the league as my son, I put my son in the game. Then it kind of changed, kind of morphed back into, now I want to play with him. And then he backed off it entirely at one point. Then Rich Paul came out and was like, no, that's not, like, LeBron's backed off that case. That's never been Bronny's thing. That's more of a LeBron thing, you know what I'm saying? So it's always been talked about for years, right? But whatever. And the journey for us to get here, right? I'm not gonna belabor you with, oh, he, you know, the details of his younger life. Like that was like still coming out. Like, no, he was born right before the 2002, either before or during. I think before the 2007 finals or something like that. You know, or born before a series. I think Bryce was born during the finals or something like that. But whatever. You know, there's this crazy stat that's like the year, the season after Bronny was born, LeBron averaged like 26, 7, and 6 or something like that. And then the past year, he averaged 27, 7. Like the numbers didn't change in 19 years of life. Bronny's whole life, LeBron's been 27, 7, and 7. That's an insane stat. But go over the past, I'm going to go year or 6 months. Year. Right before the season starts. It's during the summer. I remember that. It's during a break. I'm at coach high school football. I'm a teacher. So I'm at professional development. And my school doesn't have the best signal. Or it didn't have the best signal. Hopefully the signal in the new school is better. But it didn't have the best signal. And I get an alert. But I get a bunch of alerts at a time. Because where I was when the news first broke was not in a good cell phone spot. So we end up having a little break in the PD and the professional development. I walk out and my phone blows up. Like all the alerts, all the texts, all the messages, all the calls hit at one time. And I'm just, it's like an information overload, but it's all about how Bronny just had a cardiac incident at USC. They treated him at the facility. My brain goes to Sharif O'Neal, son of Shaquille O'Neal, who had something like that. My brain goes there, and I know it took Sharif a year and a half before he ever played again. They had to cut his chest open. Like I remember, like all this stuff. People were saying that USC was the only reason UCLA was the only reason Sharif survived because he was right there at the medical facility. A UCLA medical facility, which can't, you know, if you're going to be anywhere and get in trouble, that's where you want to be. Right. I remember that like it was yesterday. And so I'm just getting my phone blowing up and my brain goes to the worst. Right. And this is, it's a whole lot of stuff, but it's a whole lot of repeating the same stuff. And it was a lot of statements are out. People are saying this. No one knows anything. You have big time people tweeting. And by big time people, I mean like Stephen A's of the world and stuff. Saying they don't know what's going on, but they've been told cardiac incidents. Whole lot of prayers for Bronny. Like it was scary, admittedly, for a while. It was touching. If to me, and I'm sure a lot of people, it was very touch and go. Then, like I said, I was probably 20 to 25 minutes late. So then 5 to 10 minutes later, you're getting the alerts of he's made it to a hospital. His condition's unknown. LeBron and Savannah have made it to the hospital. There's photos of them going to the hospital. Like, no one knows anything, right? All we know is a cardiac incident, and he's in the hospital. And again, my mind has gone to Sharif. Kind of surviving, but the road back. Or was it Keontae George at Florida? Again, he had the cardiac incident on the court. Again, surviving, but it was a long road back. And then Keontae George and Bronny's, from what I can kind of gather, not having obviously any medical files or anything like that, putting the situations together, those two seem to be the closest. Sharif was an extreme case because Sharif actually was a result of a blockage situation. Something wrong with one of the situations in his heart. These two, just could call them cardiac incidents, effectively heart attacks for layman's, but not heart attacks. But anyway, so you go through the whole cardiac arrest incident. Excuse me. You go through the whole cardiac incident, and then you fast forward to now he's recovering. Now he's battling back. And he starts playing college basketball in January. He was already not the best prospect. Actually, Isaiah Collier was. He was the better prospect on his team. And Isaiah Collier was going late and going to go into the Jazz. Sneaky good pick for the Jazz. But Isaiah Collier was the best prospect on the team. But you saw Bronny McDonald's All-American game. You saw what he could be. I could run the show a little bit at point. my career is going to be, I knock down open jumpers, I play good defense. Who can do a lot of that in the NBA? Jrue Holiday, I knock down open jumpers, I play really good defense, I can run the show if needed at point. Derek White is a guy, is another guy. My Jrue Holiday and Derek White are two guys that I think he should look a lot at. I think he mentioned Davion Mitchell, who just got traded. We'll speak about his trade when we do the next section. But you speak about, you know, those are guys I think he should be looking at. Those are guys he is looking at to model his game after. You saw him in the American game, right? So it's not explosive athletically. It's not crazy size. Bryce, actually, his younger brother is considerably bigger. It's not crazy size. It's smart basketball. It's three, it's D, it's good point guard. Like, that's who his job is. And so he shows up in January. As a freshman, the non-conference is where you shake off the jitters, you shake off the expectations, anticipatory expectations, you shake off nerves, you get in the rhythm on the court, etc. Well, he gets dropped in January. So all everybody else has done all this. He's doing it in January. And being a 3-and-D rhythm style point guard player, you need to play with your team to get that rhythm. But he's not getting it, rehabbing on his own from the cardiac incident. Training on his own from the cardiac incident, even in practice, you're not getting that game flow. So his numbers were low. And so then that was like, oh, he's not going to get drafted. He's LeBron. Can't have to go through all that stuff. And he gets to the point where he's at where he is. And it's, people are saying he's only getting drafted. He's LeBron kid. Rich Paul did a wonderful job as representation. He worked out for Phoenix and the Lakers. So the reports focus on Phoenix and the Lakers. I think Phoenix was the contingency plan. And I think Rich was smart enough to know if he gets to Phoenix on a non-two-way contract, on a standard NBA contract, he's going to play a lot in the G League. But he's going to have to play so many games for Phoenix, and Phoenix is going to need guard depth because Bradley Beal gets hurt a lot. Booker gets nicked up. Grayson Allen is pretty much the only other guard I can think of. Eric Gordon is a vet, but he's probably opting out of his deal, I'm thinking of the time. And so you're just looking at all this stuff. He's going to have to play in Phoenix. And also the Lakers, you play with your dad, and they're going to make sure they get you minutes when you're up. When you're in the G League, you're going to play a lot for South Bay. But when you're up on the Lakers roster, you're going to play 5 to 10 minutes a night. Probably most of them with your dad or with AD next to you. So somebody that can kind of guide you a little bit on the court. Okay. First draft comes and goes. Boom. First one comes and goes. Boom. No shocker there. Gets about pick 50. I turn the TV back on because I want to see it. It's one of those moments where you remember where you were. Oh my God, how many years has it been since Kobe passed? I remember exactly where I was in the moment. I remember it. Like, I could see it, right? Like, there's certain moments in history that you remember where you were. I remember where I was when Kobe's 60-point game for his final game. I remember where I was for a lot of incidents. Super Bowl 23, Patriots, Falcons. I remember, like, remember where I was when the Saints won a Super Bowl over the Colts. There's certain moments you're just remember where you were moments. My first lady in my church calls them tattoo moments, where you know exactly where you were, you know exactly what happened. You can go back to that moment right then, that second. Tattoo moments, like they're on you. You're like, for those of you with tattoos, you know when you got the tattoo, what shop you were, how you thought when you got it, what you thought when you saw it. Like, you remember all this stuff. You remember those moments, right? This is going to be a tattoo moment for a lot of people. And then I get the alert early. Being in this business, I get the alert early. Oh, it's Bronny. I tweet it, I Instagram, I Facebook it, I do all my stuff, I Threads it, I stunt it. And then you hear the words from Deputy Commissioner Mark Tatum, who's going to be the next commissioner in the NBA. You hear the words, with the 55th pick in the NBA draft, the Los Angeles Lakers select Bronny James. And, you know, it hits you like, yo, it actually happened. Like, it smacks you across the face. That just happened. And all the pictures come out, and Bleacher Report and SportsCenter, and I tweet my stuff out. And you just sit there like, it happened. A father and a son are in this, not only in the league together for the first time ever, they're on the same team. And that sparked a lot of memes and discussion. A lot of hilarious stuff came out of this. Like, one of the things was like, even Savannah reposted it on her story. That, man, Bron is on the deal with the fact that his teammates sleeping with his mom. That's his, like, that's hysterical. Like, you know, Stephen A., on First Take this morning, did a Stephen's A-list of what Bronny can call LeBron around the teammates. And they can't call him dad or daddy. It's gonna make you look weak. So he was like, what can you call him? And he did like 2-3. He did Bron. I forgot what the first one was, but the top two was old man and pops. Cause like, we know you're dad, so you're not gonna walk around calling him LeBron. Like, you're not gonna do that. But it's like, old man and pops could be two things that, you know, he could call him, and it's like, okay, got a little coolness to him. And it's a popular, like, I call my dad old man, right? Like, my wife calls my dad pops. So, like, those are two things that I know I use that is in my lexicon all the time. So, I like, it'd be fine. Like, it's perfectly fine if he used those two things, old man or pops. Even Ryan Clark was like, no, those are perfect. You know, not Ryan Clark. Might have been Ryan Clark. I heard the voice and sound like Ryan Clark. Like, oh no, those two are perfect. Like, pops and old man are perfect for the situation. So that he's the most anticipated 55th pick ever. His summer league games are going to break records, television wise and attendance wise. I mean, this is Lonzo Ball to the Lakers after LaVar Ball talked. This is Zion Williamson's summer league game to the Pelicans. This is Victor Wembanyama. Like, last year was a circus for Wimby when he showed up in Vegas. Every game he played sold out and was a ratings bonanza. I remember the first one was rough, and everybody was like, oh, da-da-da. And I came on this show and was like, yo, I remember the games against G League Ignite, wait on it. And then he went crazy, like, in, like, the second and third game. They shut him down. It's going to be similar. Like, Bronny may not even start for the G League. He's going to start for the summer league team. He's going to start for the summer league team. I don't know why I said that. But he may not. But when he gets in, it's going to be standing ovations. His shot maids are going to go crazy. Like, Vegas is a hop, skip, and a jump from L.A. So definitely he's going to be, I think it's like 2-hour drive or something like that. 2-hour, is it a 2-hour or 4-hour drive? Very drivable distance. So a lot of L.A. fans are going to go watch him play, especially if he has the 3 a.m. game on a Saturday. Like, it's going to be packed to the max. So definitely it's going to be something to watch for. I know I'm going to be watching. And it's one of those things where LeBron has earned the right. Skip Bayless said it. LeBron has earned the right to do this. Yeah, I'm one of, if not the greatest player of all time. I've earned the right to play with my kid. He's earned the right to strong arm the organization if he had to into drafting his son with the 55th pick. Rich Paul's earned the right to strong arm the organization to give him a standing NBA contract. He's going to play in the G League a lot, but he's going to be on the road with the Lakers a lot. You know, for those of you outraged that he took a spot from somebody deserving, name me somebody between pick 50 and 60 and give really good detail about him. Don't worry, I'll wait. The only person you can name is pick 55. He didn't steal anybody's opportunity. And so this is just, it's insane. Like, it's going to be wild to see when they're on the court together. Because I'm pretty sure he's going to open the season on the regular roster, and then they'll drop him to the G League for, you know, long stretches or whatever. It's going to be wild to see. Like, practice is going to be, like, the pictures are insane, right? And you saw Savannah crying when she handed him the Lakers hat at the private party they had. The pictures are insane. Hearing Rob Pelinka and J.J. Redick talk about it, it's wild. Seeing the practice footage, I see them working out with Chris Brickley. Seeing them in Lakers practice jerseys together is going to be insane. But two moments for me, and I'm a future father and I have a great dad in my life. I plan to be a future father and have a great dad in my life. my dad always wanted, and I know as a kid, he would have wanted me to go work with him, right? My dad was a great engineer for many, many years, right? In a perfect world, I would have got my engineering degree, and I would have worked with him. He would have trained me up, and I would have worked with him. And you see it a lot when it comes to plants, construction workers. You see it a lot, business owners do pass it down. We see it in sports all the time, ownership. The old man dies, and it gets passed right on down to the son. You know, it just gets passed on down. This happens in sports. So the nepotism thing was ridiculous. But two moments are going to be insane. Three moments for me. I'm sure for the James family and everybody who's interested in the story, it's going to be wild to see. Because this hasn't happened in my life. So I think the Griffies were done by the time I got, or the time I never saw the Griffies play live. I've seen the video, I've seen the pictures, but I never saw, you know what I'm saying? So this is the first time in my life father and son are going to be together. Three moments. First moment, picture day. NBA media day. Lakers media day, where they're doing the photos and they're doing all the photos and the interviews, and father and son both have James on the back of their jersey. I assume LeBron's gonna go B.James, because he doesn't really use LeBron James Jr. ever. So I think he's gonna go B.James, because he's Jr., I would assume. Right? Because, you know, like when someone has the same last name, they put a letter, one has the same jersey, the other one just has, like, so like for the Thunder, they're both last name Williams. So I think one of them has J. Williams, the other one's just Williams. Or J. A. and then J. Whatever. So I assume that's the situation is going to happen in LA. Or maybe LeBron's going to go James Sr. and let Bronny have James on the back. But whatever, like they're gonna, like media day is gonna be insane. They're taking photos together in Lakers uniforms. 2K when they're on the floor together. That's going to be wild. Cause I'm probably gonna want to play with the Lakers just to do it. And then their first game one, 7:30. I mean, they're gonna have probably, cause who won the title? Boston. So Boston's probably gonna have the 7:30 game, and then Lakers gonna close it against whomever. And LeBron, Bronny, there's going to be a moment where Bronny's going to check in the game and LeBron's on the floor. And it's like, this is insanity. Like, Bronny's going to pass to Bron for a dunk or something. And the crowd's going to go ballistic. Like, or Bright, or Bron, because Bronny can dunk. LeBron's going to throw a lob or throw an assist to Bronny. Bronny hit a corner three and they're going to like dap off. Like, it's going to be wild to see. Like, it's going to be insane to see that. So, congratulations to the James family. I've went really long on the draft. The Bronny topic went a little longer than I thought I was going to. And a couple of sides. You guys don't mind too much. But I'm going to take a quick break. And then I'm going to jump right into the NBA offseason. We'll hit that and get up out of here. All right, and I'm back actually to discuss the NBA offseason. I know it's the NBA offseason preview show, and you know, I'll, of course, in the episode description, I'll mention the draft. And if you guys want to skip right to this part, I'll have it timestamped for you so that you are able to skip right to this part if you like. Although, if you did skip, back it up about 10 15 minutes. I had a great discussion on the Bronny situation. It's a little all over the place, I admit, but so much of it is insane. And so much of it's wild. And so, you know, I said back up 10, 15 minutes if you guys want to hear it. If not, of course, you don't have to. You can jump right into the NBA offseason portion because stuff is happening already. So the CBA was changed where teams can negotiate with their own early. And that was a big change, and I think it's a smart change. So what the NBA wants to do is, the NBA wants, one, parity. Two, they want smaller markets able to retain their stars. That's why we have things like, even before the Supermax, only your home team can give you the fifth year of max money. If you leave in free agency, they're going to do a four-year contract. That's why you have certain things of the Supermax came into play, where not only can I give you the fifth year, I can give you more money than anybody else can give you per year on and the fifth year to stay. And you can't be traded the first year you sign it, etc. And now they're doing things like they're opening the negotiation window for current players earlier. So, like, for instance, OG Anunoby, or Pascal Siakam, rather, since I talked about him already, I'm not going to talk about him now. Pascal Siakam, rather, because he was traded to the Pacers mid-season, he counts as a retaining or returning player in the negotiation window. Cool. So he was able to negotiate his deal. Technically, he was able to negotiate his free agent deal with the Pacers early because he'd be returning to the Pacers, which is how he ended up with the fifth year and the max money. He was able to do that by getting a returning deal to the Pacers. Instead of if he were to try to sign somewhere else, he couldn't technically negotiate until the 30th or the 1st. One of the 30th opens a moratorium window. But anyway, the goal is that it allows teams who are trying to retain their players, I can negotiate with you early. So I can put that five-year, $200 million contract in your face and dare you to say no and try and walk in free agency. And so that was the purpose of it. And we've seen deals get done. So like I said, the moratorium period technically open to a couple another couple of days. We've seen deals getting done already. So I'm going to go through it. I'm going to run through the list of extensions and extension talks, opt-outs, and then I'll discuss some big guys who I think could be or should be hopefully getting done and or moved. Just, we'll talk about it. Bam Adebayo in the Miami Heat agreed to a three-year, $166 million maximum extension for him. Bam extends early, so that's why it's only a 3 year. If you wait another year, do a 4 year deal, 4 year extension. He waits 2 years, you can do the full 5 years. But he decided to go ahead and get locked in early, so it ties him and the organization to each other through 2028, 2029. That is what it happens for Bam Adebayo. Sorry, I'm pulling it up right now. My sincerest apologies, people. So the time to the organization through 2028-2029. So again, he extended early. So that's why it's 5 years out. Because 2024-2029 is 5 years. If he waits a year, he could have signed the 4 year, which would be a little bit more money. But he extends out now. So his contract extension technically registers under this cap. So that's why the extensions go up every time you wait a year. Not only for that, you add a year, so your total dollar goes up, but your per year goes up because you're now extending under the new cap, under whatever the new situation is. That's what you're extending under. He's extending under the current cap, which is why it's 3 years, $166 million. Financially, smarter to wait a year. I also understand being 24, 25 years old or whatever and staring at $166 million. And being, you know, and them being like, nah, you know what I'm saying? So I totally get it, right? Like, we're in the same age bracket. I understand. Especially because he can re-hit the market again at like 30, 31. So he can hit him again for the three-year extension. In 2 years, he can extend again. Or in 3 years, he can extend again at age 28 under the new salary. Extend three more years out. And then he'll be locked in, probably retire at 30 to 34. Having made a boatload of money. So I get it. Bam Adebayo extends 3 years, 166. OG Anunoby, he signs a new contract with the Knicks. So his contract expired with the Knicks, but because he was a returning player, similar to Pascal Siakam, also traded from the Raptors midseason, but to the Knicks, he extends 3 years. He signs a new contract at 4 years, 5 years, sorry. $212.5 million contract. That's less than the max, but it does include a player option and it has a trade kicker. So if he were to be traded, his contract would go up. I'm not sure what the kicker is, probably 15%, but his contract would go up. I do want to apologize because I skipped over the trade of Mikal Bridges to the Knicks. So the Villanova Knicks are complete. Four of the five biggest players from that team now play for the Knicks. The other one is Chris Jenkins, who hit the shot in that championship game to break my North Carolina heart. He's not in the NBA. So the four Nova Knicks from the 26, from the four Nova players from the 2016 national championship team all now play for the Knicks because Mikal Bridges was traded to the Knicks for a contract, for Bojan Bogdanovic, the first round picks, 2025, 2027, 2029, and 2031. A 2025 first round pick via Milwaukee. It is lightly protected. It is lottery protected or top 10 protected, one of the two. So they'll get in 2025 as well. And a 2028 pick swap along with a 2025 second round pick. They also did a conjoining deal before I go too far back into the contracts with the Houston Rockets. So this deal involves the Nets trading a 2025 pick swap via Phoenix, a 2027 Suns first round pick, and a pick swap in 2029. And the Rockets sends the Nets 2025 pick back to them from the James Harden deal, and the 2026 first round pick swap also from the James Harden deal. So the Nets sending both the 2025 and the 2026 Nets picks from the James Harden deal back to the Nets, basically in exchange for the Suns draft. So they basically traded the rights to drafts. The Nets reacquired their own rights in a full-on tank. They're in the Cooper Flagg sweepstakes, and they're also in the NBA Suns draft sweepstakes. They're going full-on tank mode, so they got their draft rights back. Houston gets Phoenix's draft rights back, which Houston is in position. They're trying to acquire either Kevin Durant or Devin Booker. What is a way to do that? Well, Phoenix emptied the cupboard in the Bradley Beal and Kevin Durant acquisitions. So now Houston holds those rights. So Houston, in theory, could go to Phoenix and say, I have your drafts if you want them back. Just give me Kevin Durant and Devin Booker. You can have it back. So that's why Houston would do that move in relinquishing those very, very good Nets picks. That's why Houston would do that move. And Houston also gained the right of the more favorable of the picks between Dallas and Phoenix. So again, they have control over Phoenix's draft. But anyway, back to the contract extension. Sorry, that went left, but I forgot I hadn't done a show since before that trade was executed. But anyway, like I said, OG Anunoby, 5 years, 212, plus the player option and the trade kicker. Moving on, I won't do any trades right now. Nick Claxton signed a 4-year, $100 million contract with the Brooklyn Nets. That includes $96 million guaranteed, so he is clearly part of their future. However, $96 million, or a $25 million a year contract is very tradable. I will say that. It is incredibly tradable. Just remember I told you that. Certain contracts are signed to be traded. This one has $96 million guaranteed, so 24-year. Just know it's very tradable. Just remember I told you that. Miami Heat forward Jimmy Butler will not extend with the Miami Heat or anyone else for that matter, per multiple reports, and he is determined to enter free agency in 2025. So that'll be interesting. He'd be a very older player. He'd be looking for a situation he could win, which is probably why he's not looking to extend. He wants control over the end of his career and his future. Next person on the list, Eric Gordon of the Phoenix Suns declined his player option. It's only worth $3.4 million to enter free agency. He is expected to have multiple championship level suitors, and that tends to happen whenever you have veteran leadership and shooting. So contenders are going to come after you. I spoke of Davion Mitchell earlier when it came to Bronny. He was traded to the Toronto Raptors in a deal involving Jalen McDaniels. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, in one of the shockers of the day, declined his player option worth $15.4 million to become a free agent. I believe he has Clutch Sports. I believe he has Rich Paul, so I'm sure Rich Paul is telling him, we have a big deal out there. We can get it, so decline your option. We can get you a bigger long-term deal. Jamal Murray of the Denver Nuggets. They are going to finalize a 4-year max contract worth $209 million. He's going to extend early because if he waits a summer, he can do the 5-year max. But he's going to extend now for the 4-year max. Reggie Jackson was traded to the Charlotte Hornets for 3 unprotected first-round picks. That's a salary cap slash asset acquisition, kind of a trade. Emmanuel Quickley and the Toronto Raptors have agreed on a 5-year, $175 million contract. Again, he gets the 5th year, and he gets to sign early due to the fact that he's a returning player because he, Quickley, was the asset in the Pascal Siakam trade from in the OG Anunoby trade from the Knicks. RJ Barrett was as well, but RJ Barrett, of course, had already signed. Tim Hardaway was dumped to the Pistons in a salary cap move to get Quentin Grimes back. And then Chris Paul, as far as his option date, he had a date in his contract in which his $30 million salary was guaranteed. It was actually today. He has agreed along with Golden State to push that date back. So it is getting shoved back to June 30th, a couple of days, as the Warriors try to find a place for Chris Paul to be traded to, or they'll just probably wait him before the date and he won't get $30 million. So Chris Paul is probably also working the phone trying to get that trade done. All right, so quick hitters on some big fish. Paul George is out there. Paul George has... he has a date as well. His date might be today as well, or maybe a couple of days. He has to decide if he's going to opt into his contract or opt out of his contract with the Clippers. If he opts out, he's an unrestricted free agent. I believe for the first time in his career, he's an unrestricted free agent. He has no ties to anybody. He can do what he wants. My plan, so there's wide reports he doesn't want to leave the West Coast, which people have opened up the Golden State Warriors hat with him. I want him in Philly. I think it'd be a great spot for him there'll be a big three in Philly, and B, Maxie and himself. I think he's looking at Embiid going, I have one hurt superstar, I don't want another. And I truly think he wants to be on the West Coast, which again, the Golden State Warriors have rumored to be blocking Andrew Wiggins from playing on Team Canada in the Olympics because they're trying to trade him. So could it be a 3-team situation where the Warriors attach assets to an Andrew Wiggins to clear up the space to bring in a Paul George via either true free agency or a opt-in and trade situation with the Clippers? Who knows? But I truly think Paul George will not be on the Clippers next season. LeBron James, reportedly that the Los Angeles Lakers are, remember that 3-year, $166 for Bam Adebayo? It's going to sound familiar, because the Lakers are prepared to offer LeBron James a 3-year, $166 million contract to finish out his career as a Laker, finish out his career in the formative years of his son Bronny's development. Also, Bryce James is 2 years away from the draft, just saying. And will allow LeBron to be on his first real max ever? Because I don't think he can get the 4-year max, but it's his first real max dollar contract ever. I want to say, I think he's always took a little less or not maxed all the way out. So I think this would be his first true max contract. So that'd be pretty dope. Trae Young was widely considered to be moved during the draft. He was not. He's still on the Hawks. But the split of him and DeJounte Murray seemed very imminent to anybody who knows anything, including myself. They're probably going to split before next season. So that's something to keep your eye on. New Orleans, something to keep your eye on with him. San Antonio, maybe they don't do it with Castle now, but if they get a good deal, San Antonio may pull the trigger. Those are two teams I think are, and the Lakers, of course, would be two teams I think of you would keep your eye on very carefully with Trae Young or DeJounte Murray. Brandon Ingram is still a New Orleans Pelican. David Griffin is not a person to sacrifice the now for the potential of the future. So if he's going to trade a Brandon Ingram, he's going to do it for what he feels is equal value, if not more value. Apparently, he's not gotten that yet. There's reports now that Griffin's telling people like he'll extend Ingram, like no big deal. He's fine with it. So that's something to keep your eye on if you're a Pelicans fan. I didn't necessarily love it because you teased us. I wanted Ingram gone, yes, but I also would have been fine with Ingram if you say, no, we're going to run it back before injuries. We were the third seed. We're going to, you know, I'm going to bring the team back. Okay, cool. Right? But you had your exit press conference, like changes have to be made, changes must be made, and then you do nothing. So, like that felt like a tease to me. I ain't feel right in my soul. I didn't like that. And then, of course, there's also the anticipated split of Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland. Something's got to give there. People in Cleveland are feeling confident they can get Mitchell to sign the 4-year. I think it's $209 million max to stay in Cleveland. I think Mitch may be on the move. Reportedly, the Lakers are looking for add a third star. LeBron's gotten his way pretty much all offseason. One of his podcast buddies, the coach, his son's on the team. At this point, it would be like right for Donovan Mitchell or Trae Young to be traded to the Lakers for the 3 first round picks that they have, a couple of swaps and some seconds. Like that just feels like what's going to happen. Austin Reeves may end up being a casualty in that, although J.J. Redick and Austin Reeves have a great relationship. And reportedly, J.J. Redick and Austin Reeves have talked, and Austin Reeves loves where J.J. wants to do things. So, hey. That's pretty much the rundown of the NBA offseason. Big moves I expect to happen. James Harden is waiting on what Paul George does, because if Paul George leaves, Harden probably fails, and correctly, he has the Clippers over a barrel. Similar position with OG Anunoby and Pascal Siakam had the Pacers and the Knicks over barrels. You traded for me, and you need me as a piece now. You're going to have to do something with me. I want 3 years max money, or 3 years big dollars. He's going to feel he had the Clippers over a barrel. Russell Westbrook may feel emboldened. You're going to have to do something. So Paul George holds a lot of chips to this offseason, but that'll be interesting to keep our eye on there. But up next, we're going to talk about the WNBA, and they had a moment yesterday between Asia Wilson and Angel Reese. Welcome back into the show. Welcome back into Jack's Hot Take. And I want to discuss with you the moment that happened yesterday. And it may have been a moment where your brain didn't really register. And it hit me after how big of a moment that was yesterday between Asia Wilson and Angel Reese. It was a game between the Aces and the Sky. Very competitive game. Asia Wilson's always, she's the best in the world. Angel Reese had a good night, missed some opportunities around the rim she shouldn't have missed, including a huge layup on a fast break. They were down 6, could have cut it to 4, and so they ended up down 9. It was one of those moments where it was a swing moment in the game. Sky battled all the way back. You get the layup, you're down 2 or 4. Crowd's going crazy. Aces try to take a timeout. Who knows what happens, right? Instead, you miss it. Ace come down, hit a 3, and it snowballs from there, right? They battled all night. Angel Reese kept a double-double streak going, 13-11. Asia Wilson, who had a 20-point streak. Like, it was a great battle. What hit me was when the Aces Twitter page tweeted out a tweet. It was multiple pictures of Angel and Asia. And the caption was, it might be this exactly, but something to the effect of a couple of SEC girlies in the W. And it hit. My brain immediately flashed back to after the game. Angel smiling and high-fiving everybody on the Aces, and she gets to Asia. And her smile gets way bigger. Asia's smile gets huge, and they just hug. And they talk to each other for a couple seconds, and Angel's nodding and smiling, and Asia's nodding and smiling. And it was past the point of, I'm a vet, this is a top popular rook. It was past, I'm a popular rook, and this is one of the best players in the world. It was past that. It was a look and a like of, you're the current, but I'm the future. Asia's the current best player in the world. Angel's the future. It was the mantle that Asia's carrying, and the weight that Asia's carrying, and the pressure she's carrying, and Team USA, and leader, and shoe line, and all that stuff. Angel is up next for all of it. in terms of the black girl match in the WNBA. The leader of the forwards, the leader of the league, the voice of the league, the face of the league, and Angel's already with Reebok and all that stuff, so she, you know, they won't be following her at Nike, but all of the stuff that Asia just walks around on clouds with Angel's next. And so it was really, really cool to see that moment between them. And I'm sure the ratings went crazy, but it was a moment. It had to be like not Jordan exactly, but it had to be like watching Jordan and Kobe. Or you know, Grant Hill was kind of hanging on when LeBron showed up. When the centers had to deal with Shaq. Like, you're not there yet, but you're going to be amazing. Right? And so it was a moment of current, future, the OG and the Rook. Like, history. They were both making history simultaneously, going against each other, guarding each other, banging with each other. Like, it was crazy to see. And then, of course, the overarching or the coaching perspective of Becky Hammon and Teaspoon calling each other sisters, and they did the pregame together and was like hugging and smiling, like, and it was just this amazing sight to see of the Aces being the finished product of what the Sky can be, and then seeing the catalysts on both sides go at each other, Asia and Angel. Insane, right? It was a moment. It was a moment. It's definitely, again, one of those, felt like a tattoo moment where it's like, I'm gonna remember where I was when I watched them play for the first time. It was crazy, right? It was insane. But that is all I have for you guys today. Longer show than anticipated. I thought it to be a 30-45 minute. It's been an hour. But I appreciate you guys for rocking with me. Again, follow at JTime Sports on all your favorite social medias for all of your breaking news and updates. And of course, don't forget to like, rate, and subscribe. Like, rate, and subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcasts. But this is your host, Justin Jackson, signing out.